Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
What makes you happy? Is it good friends, meaningful work, hobbies, puppies, sunsets, chocolate? What about family? George Burns once said, happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. Clinical psychologist Arch Hart joined us last year to talk about how today's hyper-pursuit of pleasure is thrilling us to death. It's the title of one of his books. He's an expert on stress, depression, and also happiness. And he's back with us again to talk about the habits of happiness. Arch, welcome back. Great to have you.
Good to be back.
Let's get some parameters on happiness. Is there such a thing as continuous happiness?
No, there is not.
Yeah. How happy should we expect to be?
Yes.
That's a big question.
That's right. There's several things I think we've got to get straight. One is the idea that one can be continuously happy is ridiculous. It's like having a flat country that has no valleys and mountains. Mm. Then you have no sense of what depth and height is. We appreciate a valley and a mountain because they are above and below the flat plains. Huh. And happiness is exactly like that, because it is something that is relative, not absolute. It is something that comes and goes. I think there are some definite underlying parameters that have to be there if you want to be happy. That really means that we've got to take a step back and ask ourselves, where is happiness coming from? There's no doubt in my mind. I'm a clinical psychologist. I know my neurophysiology. I know what the different parts of the brain does and so on. And there's no doubt in my mind that the brain is designed to deliver happiness to us. No doubt about that. Mm-hmm. The problem is there's no particular part of the brain responsible for it.
Oh, isn't there?
No. We have a specific part of the brain that's responsible for pleasure. And pleasure can make one happy. But too much pleasure, we know, robs you of happiness. So there's no happiness. If you overstimulate the pleasure center, you bring happiness down. So it doesn't come from any particular part of the brain. It's a sort of gestalt. It's the total that it gives you. It's a conglomeration of a whole different sort of things that delivers us up as happiness. And the other problem is that I doubt if I could find two people who could define happiness identically the same.
Right, yeah, that's a good point. The definition is a bit of a problem in itself, isn't it?
That's right, yes. A person who is perhaps not as sociable or gregarious is very happy if they can just sit alone in a corner somewhere. Mm. But, a person who just loves being with other people and wants social interaction is not going to be very happy with that. You want the exact opposite. So what helps us become happy is very, very different between of us. But even though I say all of that, there is something, there's a certain level of contentment and joyfulness that is probably the leading symptoms of happiness.
All right, well, we'll explore that further, and I want to touch on the pleasure thing again as well, since we had such a big response to you talking about what's thrilling us to death, basically. What doesn't make us happy, though? Let's knock away the other things that are promising happiness but actually don't deliver. What does the research show that doesn't make us happy?
The things that don't make us happy are when we are, say, performing below our expectations. Now, the solution to that is you've really got to examine those expectations. If I set my goals too high and I can't achieve them, I'm not going to be happy. That's another aspect of happiness. A sort of satisfaction comes when a deep satisfaction when I achieve something that I've set my goals to achieve. Mm-hmm. So if I don't meet those goals, I'm not going to be happy. That's the first thing. The second thing, I'm not going to be happy if certain of my basic needs are not met. It's hard to be happy when you're hungry. Although I've seen little children in Africa who are pretty hungry with some of the biggest smiles on their face.
That's right.
And the reason for that is that there seems to be an ability in our brains to settle down, to adjust to what is normal. If hunger is the norm, your baseline shifts to that. And again, it's this relative thing of what are valleys and mountains. And valleys and mountains can be on top of a very high plateau, or it can be right down at sea level. Mm. And that goes up and down. We call that the happiness set point. And each of us has a set point. Many are saying now that it's genetic. And no matter how very happy we might become under certain circumstances, we eventually seem to find that set point again.
Right. We drop down to it or we rise up to it.
We're always prone to going back. We regress back to that basic level.
Right.
There's no doubt about it that certain social activities are important for happiness. We yet again, I just happen to believe that we are designed for social interaction, to be with one another.
Yes.
And so people who are lonely, people who are single, people who can't make friends easily are generally unhappy people.
Okay. Where does that leave things like wealth, education, IQ, marriage even? Where those things that often are, I guess, touted as being the things that will bring us happiness, particularly from the advertisers. What does the research show about those?
Well, you know, marriage, generally speaking, married people are happier than single people.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting fact is that conservatives, and for example, certain Christian groups that are very conservative, mm-hmm. are clearly happier than liberals.
Okay, yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Wealth does not mean satisfaction. Since this is being broadcast in Australia, I can tell a story about my brother in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
He always used to say, he's younger than me and sort of left high school before he finished and started his own business, and would often sort of tease me about, you know, he's going to be more successful than me, and that means he's going to be more happy than me. But now that we're in our 70s, we often reflect on that, and he admits to me honestly that wealth has never brought him happiness. To achieve wealth is very stressful, very demanding. Mm-hmm. It's very dicey. It's like a gamble. You may make it, you may not make it. And the other thing is, he reports quite accurately, is that the goal that he has set for himself, where that level of wealth that would make him happy, keeps receding. It's not just the inflation that is raising that bar all the time, but just the fact that the more money you've got, the more it is the achievement factor that really is where happiness is. And one can have that sense of achievement without it being the pursuit of wealth and power.
This is Open House right across Australia. Arch Hart is with us. We're talking about the habits of happiness. Theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast as well. So in Christian circles, Arch, it's quite common for us to, I guess, differentiate happiness from joy. Because,
yes.
we don't always have happiness, but, you know, the Christian has a deeper sense of joy. What's your take on that?
Well, let me be very honest here, and that is the Christian people I have met, and I'm a Christian, who claim to have the highest level of joy are generally the most unhappy people I've met. It's almost as if it has become a defense mechanism. It doesn't matter. I'm not happy, but that doesn't matter. You see, I've got the joy of God in me. And it becomes a cop-out. It becomes a sort of shield. And that is most unfortunate. And I will often, you know, when talking to groups and so on like that, really challenge for the folk to get, look, listen, if that joy you're claiming doesn't also deliver some happiness, there's something wrong with that joy. And I can't believe that's what it was, that it was intended to give you something but not include happiness.
Mm.
No, I honestly believe that our mind, our brains are designed for happiness. If we just stop messing with it. My daughter and a whole group of her friends recently went on a quiet retreat. You know, that's when you go. You don't have games. You don't have a lot of exciting activities. You sit quietly. You reflect. You have a small group conversations. And they had this long weekend of that. And they have all reported that they left that event feeling happier than before they went there. And I think that there's a powerful message in that, and that is if we just sort of go for the ride to try to achieve happiness by pursuing some high level of pleasure, we mess with our brain system. The true pleasure comes also with tranquility, a sense of peacefulness, sense of satisfaction, a sense of gratitude, a sense of appreciation. Mm-hmm. That's the package that delivers what would be called authentic happiness.
Okay, just bring that down to a few things for me. I've heard you talk about happiness as being a tripod. If we just bring this down in our minds to just the essential few qualities mm-hmm. that happiness has, tell me sure. what those would be.
The three tripods, I think, that would make a stable base on which to build a happiness attitude. The first one would be satisfaction. Unless you can, you know, be satisfied, that means setting your goals reasonably at a level that you can achieve. In business, you're supposed to set your goal beyond your ability to achieve, because that's supposed to push you harder. Yes, it does push you harder, but it robs you of your happiness. Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure that your life, the game plan you have in life, is one that delivers a lot of satisfaction. Satisfaction also comes from being other-centered, doing a kind deed, giving someone a gift, being complimentary. I can't tell you how... I'm not a person who compliments others very often, but when I really focus on and complimenting, thanking someone for a service they've given me in a store, or complimenting them on something, there's just something very, very happiness-producing by that. The second one, Sharon, I'd say is that one has to be joyful. You have to embrace some joyfulness, that playfulness, a willingness to let your guard down. You smile a little bit. Raise your humor quotient so that you can enjoy jokes a little bit better. If you're not intentional about that, a sort of numbing seriousness settles down upon you.
Yes.
If you can't find joy in anything, you're never going to be happy. And the third one would be the pursuit of the right sort of pleasure. This brings me back, of course, to my book, if you don't mind me just making the point again. Mm. There are two types of pleasure, the type A pleasure, the exciting pleasure, that most people are pursuing today. And then there's I call it type B, after the type B personality pleasure. Anything that has a computer chip in it gives you a type A pleasure, and it robs you of real happiness. Pleasure that is sought in relationships, nature, going to the park for a picnic, a dad taking the kids into the backyard and kicking a football around, is far more pleasurable in the positive sense, the right sort of pleasure to the kids, than just all sitting down in front of a TV set.
Yes, satisfaction, joyfulness, and pleasure. This is Open House. Arch Hart is with us. We're talking about the habits of happiness. Theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast. Arch, what specific resources does the Christian faith bring for happiness to the happy or joyful person?
Yes. Well, I suppose I would start with the obvious one, and that is that guilt can play a very significant role in robbing us of our happiness. If I feel guilty a lot of the time, and who of us never makes mistakes, never falls or experiences guilt? And so the first thing that the Christian faith brings me that opens up the happiness door is a sense of forgiveness. I think it's the genius of our Christian faith. I don't want to speak down to other faiths, but I think that the Christian faith, more than most other religious faiths, emphasizes the importance of forgiveness. Yes. I receive forgiveness, and I give forgiveness. That certainly makes a big difference in your ability to achieve something happiness.
Yes.
I think the other thing that my Christian faith gives me is the ability to sort of be realistic, to live with reality. You'll never be happy if you're living in a fantasy world, in something that doesn't have a reality base to it. So for me, that's it. And another very, very powerful one is the call that my faith brings to me to not be so focused on myself, to be other-centered, to get my eyes off myself, to be considerate for others. We don't believe in doing good works to get us to heaven, but we do believe that if you're on the road to heaven, you do good works.
Yes.
And I think it's my Christian faith that calls me to be considerate and giving to others. above everything else.
Yeah, and Jesus did say, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
It is.
It's very interesting that I was in a group once, and a number of us were sharing how we all had some sort of relational difficulty. You know, it might have been a family member we were had a bit of a falling out with, or a friend, or a colleague, or something. Mm-hmm. It was quite interesting that all of us had a sense that God wanted us to go the extra mile, turn the other cheek, actually go and do something for that person, and actually make the first move to restore that relationship. It was horrible. None of us wanted to do it. On the other end of that, for every one of us, we came back a week later and said, boy, that was the most amazing thing possible. And I think that's always stayed with me. There really is the joy, the happiness that comes after that, I guess, that act of obedience.
Sure. There's no doubt about it. That's our Christian faith calls us to that sort of commitment and rewards us for it. I don't mean in a bribes us in that sense. But the brain's pleasure center is also called the reward center, where that center delivers you this deep sense of satisfaction. Mm. Wow, I did the right thing, and that makes up for a lot.
Yes. Arch, why don't you leave us just with five or six happiness boosters then, some practical little everyday things that we can do just to boost that happiness set point as you were talking about earlier on.
Okay. I would start by saying that, and this is an old-fashioned Bible thing too, that every day try to find three things you are grateful for, three blessings that you can say that you've experienced that day. There's been a lot of psychological research in this whole issue of gratitude building, that when you focus on counting your blessings and paying attention to them, it penetrates that thick head of yours, that stupid brain of yours, and it has very, very long-term good effects. The second thing that I would say that can boost your happiness is to reflect at the end of the day on what you would have done differently. Not in the sense that you sort of flagellate yourself or, you know, give yourself a good clobbering or anything like that, but in the sense that what can I learn from today that I didn't do that I want to do tomorrow? Mm-hmm. A third one is the value of committing acts of kindness. There's no doubt about it. We are happier when we give something than when we receive it.
Yeah.
And I think to be intentional about committing acts of kindness like that can also go a long way to building your happiness set point. And lastly, to make a commitment to choose to be happy, even if things are sad. The Pollyanna has a beautiful story about Pollyanna who plays the glad game, where she can, in her the most terrible things going on in her life, she can find one little thing she can be happy about. I often play the game with myself, and I teach my children, my grandchildren, to do it. Is to choose my happiness. We'd say something like that. We drive to the airport, and I'd say, "Wow, you know what? When I'm on that airplane, and I've checked in, and everything's okay, and I'm sitting down, and that plane is ready to take off, I'm going to be happy. I define a point when I will be happy. When I'm sitting there on the airplane, and my one grandson will turn to me and say, "Okay, Papa, are you happy?" I said, "Yes, I'm happy." Choose your happiness. And be intentional about claiming it.
Arch, always good to talk to you. Appreciate your time on this one again.
My blessing to you.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's Dr. Arch Hart. He's the author of The 15 Principles of Achieving Happiness, Thrilling Ourselves to Death, which we spoke about at length a few months ago. You can find that on theopenhouse.net.au. His website, heartinstitute.com.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.